motivate us that we, your sons and daughters, might act accordingly. May the words that I speak bring you praise, O God, and never shame. It is in your holy name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. The sermon for this blessed morning, the whole world in his hands, the whole world in his hands. Several years ago, a young daycare, nursery school teacher heard the tornado warnings go off. And she was young. She had not been in a tornado before, but she was wise enough to gather her students and get them in the safest place. But she was trembling and she was terrified that something drastic was going to happen. And surely enough, she could see the roof just being lifted off the daycare center and feel the cold rain, stinging rain falling on the kids. And she didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, one of the children, an autistic little boy, started singing, "He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands." And she watched in amazement as the students began to sing with him. "He's got the whole world in his hands." And she said she could just literally feel the awesome hand of God covering her and the babies. And she just knew and felt in her spirit and her soul, everything is going to be all right, simply because this autistic daycare center, this little boy, knew Jesus. He had faith in the power of Jesus. And he saw what was happening. He let the Holy Spirit use him to calm the storm. He's got the whole world in his hands. The only way you can sing that song or even express it is to know the power of an awesome, awesome, awesome God. He does have the whole world in his hands. The text is powerful because Jesus is asking the question, "Well, you've been with me. Now tell me, what are people saying about me?" Well, what the disciples are really saying is they don't really know you. They're guessing. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. They're just guessing that you're somebody special. But he asked them, "Who do you say I am?" And they say the words that he needs to hear. "You are the Messiah. You are the one who's been prophesied about. You are the Messiah." And then it begins to share with them about what's going to happen, what has to happen to fulfill prophecy. And Peter can't stand it. He can't stand the idea that Jesus might be killed. So he rebukes Jesus. And this, you could say he and Jesus had an argument. He rebukes Jesus. And then Jesus had to tell him off, real literally, and say to him, you're thinking worldly. I need you, Peter, to think spiritually. I need you to understand that my God does have the whole world in his hands. It is so important because what he said to them, you can't be worldly, you've got to be spiritual. You must take up your cross. Literally, take it up, pick it up, want to take up your cross. And if you choose to be worldly, then you're making the wrong choice and you don't get to see me. You don't get to be a part of my kingdom. So it's your decision. It's an awesome decision. Will you choose to follow me gladly, take up your cross? Will you choose to live a godly and righteous life and do what is required of you? The whole world in his hands. How can you believe it if you don't know the Messiah? How can you understand it if you don't know the Messiah? And so the challenge for us is we need to help people understand and know the Messiah. The death angel is hovering every minute. We hear the death angel. Several of us were involved in a funeral yesterday in Arkansas. The death angel is all around us. Several members I've talked to in the last couple of days have lost dear friends, awesome friends. The death angel is all around us. We can be defeated by death. we can understand that the death angel is really our friend. Because when the chilly hands of death come upon us, it just says that there will be more one day. As I take you where you're going, guess what? There'll be a door, a great hall opening where you'll see the saints and your family and everybody. Because you know the Messiah. You know that the chilly hand of death can't outdo the awesome hand of God. God has the world in his hands. I've often said once we turn 50, we can go to a funeral every day, every week, maybe twice a week, because we have family, we have extended family. And it's painful when the death angel knocks on the door. It is so painful when we lose somebody. I don't care how much we know that they're going to heaven, how much we know they're in God's hands. When we lose somebody, it is painful. And we're losing people to COVID. We're losing people to sickness. We're losing people to accidents. People are dying around us. Crazy things are happening. Terrorists, not outside, but inside. Terrorists, more terrorists than ever before. People are doing all kinds of crazy things. And the question is from the Old Testament is there a word from God? There's always a word from God. Are you listening? There's always a word from God. Are you paying attention? There's always a word from God. Take a look around and watch what God is doing. Because as we celebrate 20 years since 9/11, as we celebrate 20, as we look back and reflect 20 years, we saw a devastating situation 20 years ago, but we also saw the people of God come together and risk their lives and die even for their brothers and their sisters. We didn't see Democrats. We didn't see Republicans. We didn't see Black. We didn't see white. We didn't see rich and poor. We saw everybody in the same boat together, rowing together, saying, let's get out of here. Let's make things better. We will not let evil defeat our world. We will not let evil defeat us. Because love is stronger than hate. Love must be stronger than hate. When God has the world in his hands, you know that you're covered. God's got this. He's got this. For those of us who are losing loved ones, he's got this. For those who worry about our own health, he's got this. For those who worry about the economy, he's got this. For those who worry about voting rights, he's got this. For those who worry about the crazy things people are trying to do and regulate women's bodies, God's got this. What he says to us is beware, be on guard. Keep your lamps lit, be on guard, because every day the devil tries something new. But guess what? God has watchmen. God has the citadel. God has people standing guard. And when we're aware, we can tell folk, don't worry about the devil. The awesome hand of God is more powerful than any crazy organization out there. The awesome hand of God. God's got the whole world in his hands. And if he's got the whole world in his hands, don't just say I'm blanketed by the power of God and do nothing. The question is, are you taking up your cross? Because you know that God's power has got you covered. Are you taking up your cross? Are we playing games? Are you taking up your cross? Are you really, really living that Christian life? Or are we playing games? Are you playing with Jesus? One of the most painful conversations I had several years ago with one of my dearest friends who comes from a big family. And he said, I was raised by my mom and dad, and they're good people. But you know, all of us, the ones who get married, we had, you know, we did our own catering. We had modest weddings, and they didn't cost a lot. But his family, his mom, they had a child, unexpected child, 20 years younger than everybody else. And make a long story short, he said to me, they spent $50,000 on so-and-so's wedding. And I didn't know what to tell him. I didn't know what kind of money they had, but he said, I'm the treasurer at our church. I know that they have not given $50,000 in all the years that they have belonged to this church. They gave $50,000, paid $50,000 for a wedding because somebody else they had to outdo somebody else's wedding. their daughter's best friend got married, they had to have a better wedding. What he really said was they are so materialistic that they stopped giving money to the food pantry. They stopped giving money to the Christmas tree. They stopped doing all the things that they know that the church, they call them to do to make the world better. And they spent $50,000 on a wedding. Some of that possibly was he just felt like he felt slighted because, you know, they weren't able to do that for him. Some of that might have even been jealousy. But the truth of the matter is he said something to me that will still stand. He said, how can they stand before Jesus and say that they spent $50,000 on a wedding and won't give to the church to make the world better? They've not taken up their cross. They have made choices that are worldly, not spiritual. Beyonce and her husband gave $4 million to several historically black schools. $4 million. Well, in comparison to the money they got, though, they spent $46 million renting a mansion to do A, B, and C, whatever they're doing. How will they stand before God and say we spent $40,000 to $50,000 renting a mansion for show and gave $4 million to five schools? At the end of the day, like they say in the South, that dog won't hunt. We make decisions based on popularity. We make decisions based on our own greed, based on our own desire to outdo the Joneses who don't care about us anyway. As Joe Lowry once said, even if you in the rat race and you win it, at the end, you're still a rat. We are called by God to serve him, not to serve the world. It is not about how the world sees us. It's how we see the world and the needs of the world. And picking up your cross doesn't mean that you are show dog. It means that you're a workhorse. Picking up your cross means that you do whatever it takes for God, whether it's your money or your brow, the sweat of your brow, or your thought processes, whatever it is, it means that I live my life for God because God Almighty has his hand, his powerful hand on me. He's got me covered. The hand of God, the whole entire world, whether it's Afghanistan or Savannah, Tennessee, the whole world is in his hands. And that's a joyful proposition. To understand and know that if we're guided by God, we don't make crazy decisions with our money. If we're guided by God, we don't ignore the poor. If we're guided by God, we don't ignore the hungry. If we're guided by God, we are not racist based on skin color. If we're guided by God, we live godly principles, and it doesn't matter what the world says. And what matters is what God says. Do you know that as I think about it, the word rock and roll will ever be changed in my heart and soul. Because that plane that was supposed to crash into the Capitol, one of the men decided with the other people on the plane, they would not let that plane go down in an area that would kill other people. He said, the guy said, let's rock and roll, which meant literally, let's give our lives to save these folk. Let's rock and roll. The plane went down in that field and every one of them died. Several dozen people died, but they saved hundreds, maybe thousands, because they understood that the hand of God had them covered. And no matter what happened in that field or in the air, God had them. I could just almost see God's holy army picking up their souls and giving them flight home. But they'd given all they had to give. Are we ready and willing and able to understand that the Messiah says, take up your cross because I've got you covered? The Messiah says, take up your cross and do the things that you need to do. The Messiah never said we cannot have a good life, never said that we cannot have nice things in our lives, eat good food, live in nice homes, drive nice cars. But he said that is the only thing you're living for. Stuff and status ain't the things you're living for. You are living to serve. In this world, you got to give more than you take. Whether you're poor or rich, the measure is still the same. Give more than you take. Can you actually say as you come to the end of your journey, I gave more than I took. I was not a welfare recipient. And I'm not sitting in church waiting on others to take care of me. I'm not sitting in my school waiting on others to make it better. I'm not sitting in my community waiting on others. I'm not a welfare recipient. I am a full participant in what God calls me to do. If you're poor and do all you can, God loves that. If you're rich and do all you can, God loves that. But whether you're in the middle, black, poor, rich, and don't do anything that God asked you to do, God has a problem with that. Because we can make so many excuses. I'm tired. I'm old. I'm retired. I used to do that. Let somebody else do it. Only person you can control is you. There's a country saying every tube has to stand on its own bottom. You don't get in the glory on your mom's or dad's coattail. You don't get in the glory on your wife's giving. You don't get in the glory on your husband's giving. You do what you do. And like Ray Charles said, make it do what it do, baby. God's powerful hand summons us. And it says to us, live your life, not a haphazard life, but a deliberately planned out life of service and giving yourself away. So that when you come to the end of your journey, ain't nothing left to give. When you come to the end of your journey, you can say, I gave all my hugs, my smiles, my joy, my stuff. I gave it all away, Lord. And now I'm ready to embrace the greatest gift one can ever receive, immortality. Thank you, Lord, that as I pass through the doors of this temporary life, I've got a lifetime journey with you. It's a guaranteed life, a holy life. That I'll always dance and sing among the stars. I'll always float among the clouds with my loved ones. Because you have called me. You have called me to take up my cross, and I'm ready to do that. Question number one, do you know where your cross is? How far back in the closet is it? Do you know where your cross is? And when you take it out, do you know what that means to take it out? It is not for show. It is not for fame and fortune, but it is to let you know that you have embarked upon a wonderful, awesome journey, a journey with Christ that says, no, through flood or fire, hell or brimstone, whatever comes my way, God's got his awesome hand over me. God's got his hand on my child as he or she travels back and forth to college. God's got his hand on my spouse as they go to work. God's got his hand on my grandchildren as they deal with other crazy folk who will not wear a mask. God's got this. And if God has got this, we can stand in front of any adversity, any army, any power, and be able to say, the hand of God is over me. The hand of God covers me because I am a Christian. And being a Christian doesn't say that I'm perfect. Being a Christian doesn't say that I get it all right, but it says that I strive day by day to live a life of sanctification. Every day I'm more sanctified than I was the day before. Every journey, every step I make matters because I get up every morning with so much joy and so much vigor and so much hope that I can do something great and magnificent for the world. And finally, I promise you that if you make love your aim and have an absolute rule that says, I will not be bitter ever, I'll be better. I will not spout hate, I will spout love. I will listen more than I talk. I will embrace life. I will embrace the haves and the have-nots. I will sing a new song unto the Lord. I will give all I have to give, and more than anything else, I will pass on the torch of Christianity. I'll pass on the torch of holiness to my children and my grandchildren. today as grandparents today, you love your grandchildren, and I think grandparents are awesome creatures. But the greatest thing a grandparent can give a child is a legacy of faith. The greatest thing we can give them is an understanding of what life means and what matters. The greatest thing we can give them is an understanding of what it means to serve a true and living God. Because when they see Poppy doing it, when they see Granny doing it, when they understand that you live not for stuff, but you live for people, when they see that you love and you care for all humanity, when they understand that, they'll be ready to take the torch. And they will see that you left the world better than you found it, and that'll be their obligation to you. Mom, Dad, Granddad, Grandmom, I'm going to leave the world better than I found it. I promise you. I promise you, when they visit you and bring flowers to your tombstone, they'll be able to say, Poppy, Mommy, and Daddy, whoever they're talking to, I'm living for you. I'm living for Christ. And they'll be able to say, don't get no better than that. They'll be able to say, I wake up every morning with joy and hope. And I remember your legacy. I remember the laughter. I remember all the joy. I remember the hugs. I remember all that you gave me. And I am a better person day by day because of who you are. And I get up in the morning and I say to myself, he's got the whole world in his hands, which includes me and mine. He's got the whole world in his hands, which includes all my ancestors. He's got the whole world in his hands, even includes my enemies. He's got the whole world in his hands, which says he's shaking us up. He's baking us. He's mingling us up and telling us to get better. He's sifting us and taking the bad out of us and taking the ugliness out of us and said, I want my world to be clean. I want my world to be better. I need disciples who take up their cross and who say to me, I will make this happen. At the end of the day, I will live in a country. I will live in a world where people don't hate. I will live in a world where people care about one another. I will live in a world where people get up wondering what they can do for the Lord. And when it's all said and done, it don't get no better than this. Hallelujah. Praise God for what God has given us, what he will continue to give us as we embrace this world and know and know and know he's got the whole world in his hands. Amen, amen, and amen.